Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, a South Texas community partner for generations. Christus Spahn is proud to be a part of your life, caring for families and providing quality medical care to all. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, the Dr. and Mrs. Hugh A. Kennedy Foundation, and the Koch Foundation, supporting the Catholic Church and its ministries across South Texas.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The Lord be with you. Good morning to everyone. Praying this Sunday is off to a beautiful start for all of us, giving thanks to God for the many blessings in our life, Welcome to those of you who are visiting here, the Mother Church. Thank you for your presence and to your home, away from home, or, God willing, this becomes your home. We are always happy to be able to embrace one another in our presence, but also to all of you who are joining us via television, radio, internet, or social media. Welcome to all of you as well. Please always know that we pray for you here at the Mother Church, the Corpus Christi Cathedral, for you and all those that are dear to you. Especially, we pray for all of you in hospitals or nursing homes. We pray for you that God's holy angels watch over you and take care of you, and that His healing hand may come upon you to comfort you in this time of challenge. My dear family, we come rejoicing with great, great joy because of the wonderful gift that God gave to us in the 13 new deacons we were able to ordain yesterday. We are so grateful to God for Deacon Alvarado, Deacon Anis, Deacon Berlan, Deacon Casalas, Deacon Culpepper, Deacon Gonzalez, Deacon Holden, Deacon Ortiz, Deacon Pierce, Deacon Cantania, Deacon Robinson, Deacon Reese, and Deacon Solis. My dear family, we have received such a great gift. Let's give thanks to God for all these men. In that joy, we ask the Lord to watch over each and every one of us. And knowing that He loves us, we can seek pardon for our sins. Lord Jesus, you have shown us the way to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you have given us the consolation of the truth. Christ, have mercy. And Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd leading us into everlasting life. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, graciously keep from us all adversity, so that unhindered in mind and body alike, we may pursue in freedom of heart the things that are yours. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Wisdom. Resplendent and unfading in wisdom, and she is readily perceived by those who love her and found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desire. Whoever watches for her at dawn shall not be disappointed, for he shall find her sitting by his gate. For taking thought of wisdom is perfection in prudence, and whoever for her sake keeps vigil shall quickly be free from care, because she makes her own rounds, seeking those worthy of her, and graciously appears to them in the ways, and meets them with all solicitude. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
St. Paul to the Thessalonians. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so too will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Indeed, we tell you this on the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will surely not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with the word of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, console one another with these words. The word of the Lord.
From the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable: the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them. But the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My dear friends in the risen Lord, looking at this week's scripture lesson or lessons, especially the Old Testament reading in our gospel, we might easily say it deals with wisdom or preparedness or having the wisdom of being prepared. I think that's a no-brainer. But what does wisdom really mean to each and every one of us? Well, we can look at our dictionary. In my days when I was growing up, we used to call it Webster's. Some of you probably wouldn't know what Webster's meant if I said that to you, but if we look at our dictionary and we read the definition in the dictionary would say wisdom is having good judgment, being wise, having knowledge, and the quality of having experience. And then we look at our first reading, which is actually from the book of wisdom. We have a whole book in the Bible called Wisdom. And it gives us a definition in there. You know, there's some very nice speech in that passage from Wisdom that we have today. But it's not an ordinary meaning of a word, but part of a spirituality. Part of what makes us spiritual beings, a people with a deep belief in the Almighty. And for us, wisdom is not simply knowledge or a measure of one's intelligence or what your IQ is. Wisdom does not come from going to a university or earning a degree or degrees. Not that this is a bad thing, absolutely not. But let me give you an idea of what wisdom means in the context of being connected to our spiritual life. There's a story that's told of an old wise man who lived in a village. And it could be any village, but all villages seem to have at least one wise old sage who people would go to for answers. And then one day, a young man, young people are curious, and they should be, young man was curious, and he went to the old man and asked him, how did you become this wise old man that everybody comes to for answers? And the old man smiled and said, well, son, it kind of started like this. When I was your age, I wanted to convert the world, and I tried, but you know, the world just didn't want to be converted. And so I said to myself, well, you know, maybe I bit off more than I could chew. And so I thought maybe I'd start a little smaller. And so I went back and I started with the village. And so I preached and I taught and I gave my concrete examples, but they also didn't seem to want to change. So I said, well, maybe I'm still going too broad. So as he moved forward, he said, well, you know, let me begin with my own family. Because certainly, once I've explained everything to them, they'll change their crooked ways and begin living the ideal life that we're all called to live. I know my family will do that. But I'm sorry to report that even my own family didn't want anything to do with this. So after many years, I finally came to the decision to convert myself. And that's when I became a wise old man. See, to the people of Jesus' time and even today, wise is much more than having knowledge. Many times it's having common sense, but also knowing how to use ourselves and how to use ourselves to help people, to care for people. And problems were brought, yes, to someone like the old wise man because they were admired. These people were admired for their prudence in life, for their ability to solve everyday problems, and they were considered wise. And so back to this old wise man in the story, the advice that he gives this young, curious person at the end is excellent advice. When we understand the meaning of true wisdom in our lives, it's not about changing everybody else. Not at all. But actually beginning with our own heart, beginning with our own soul. And boy, you know this is tough to do, tough for all of us to do. It's tough to be brutally honest with ourselves, because we have to look at our own shortcomings. And I don't know about you, but I certainly don't like to do this. Nobody does. But my dear friends, when we humble ourselves to look at our own ugliness first, then God begins to use us in ways that we could never imagine. You know, there's an ancient samurai saying. It comes from what the samurai used to call their code of ethics or morality. They called it Bushido. And what it says, the culture of the samurai was a culture around the sword. You know, they hurt each other with those swords, okay? But that was their culture. They built around this sword. And what this code said, before you ever draw your sword to use against anyone else, you have to first draw it to cut your own ugliness. So basically, they're saying is you have to look in the mirror at yourself. Look at your own shortcomings. And so how does this relate to the 10 virgins in our parable? You might be asking, well, you know, how does all of this come together with these 10 virgins? And we know we had 5 wise ones and 5 foolish ones. And when I introduced the theme this morning, I mentioned wisdom as being prepared, or having the wisdom of being prepared. Remember, the story of the wise virgins is a parable. It's a parable. We all know what a parable is. Jesus used them all the time. Parables are simply short stories that are designed to illustrate or teach a truth or some type of moral lesson. And many times these parables also convey a deeper meaning, kind of indirectly, by using comparisons. You know, in many of Jesus' parables, you'll see and hear comparisons of light and dark and these kind of things. So the 10 virgins in this parable illustrate being prepared and using prudence, both traits that some equate with being wise. And notice the comparison of wise and foolish, having the wise virgins who were very prudent in planning the future. These wise virgins were not simply living for the moment or for whatever came their way. The wise virgins were ready for the bridegroom. And when he came, they were joyfully invited to the party. We know that Jesus is the bridegroom in the story. And basically, Jesus is telling us all, take your life seriously. If not, you can be left out of the party. And what is this party? Well, the party is simply being the calling of mankind to God in the honor of the bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ. And when we enter this party, we're all going to celebrate for eternity. And so we might ask ourselves, but how about those poor girls who are locked out? What about them? Again, this is not a real story. But it is meant to teach us that we all have a choice in life, and that our own choices in life cause that separation. Our own choices cause that lockout. And we can make the choice to be wise and prudent, showing our spiritual wisdom, or we can choose to be foolish. Yeah, we have free will. We can choose to be foolish, living from day to day with no aim, no direction, except to live for our own self-gratification. We all get caught up into this from time to time. The parable of the virgins is a lesson for us from Jesus on how we should be living our lives, living it in Christ, caring for each other, being someone who loves, being someone who understands the full meaning of life. And so what is Jesus telling us? Jesus is telling us to light the lamps within our hearts. My friends, if we do this, we can truly light up the world regardless of who won what election. Governments and office holders come and go. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and for eternity. And I guarantee you, He will never let you down. Being spiritually wise is to recognize how we must tie ourselves to Christ and not be dragged down by the world around us with its pop culture and man-made gods. We must be a people of joy. We must be a people of hope. We must realize that we ourselves have a choice to keep the lamps of our hearts burning or allow them to be extinguished by our own hand. And I'm preaching to the choir here because I know we all know this, but I say to you this morning, please do not take your life for granted. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Together we profess, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, in all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. My dear family, with great faith in our Father's love, we ask that he hear the needs we now present.
For the church, that in order to prepare ourselves for the end times, we may hasten our work to build up the kingdom of God in our midst, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the women and men we elected this past week to public office, that God may watch over them as they assume their responsibilities, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all veterans that served our country, those serving today, and those who gave their lives for that service, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That especially during this month of November, we may remember those who have gone before us and find comfort in our generous and merciful God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That God may extend his healing hand upon those who continue to be affected by the coronavirus and bless those who minister to them, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the eternal repose of the souls of Joe Cueva, Lita Mara, Maria Henderson, Lamarcus Spencer, Valentine L. Puig, and for the special intentions of Adele Betre, Shaltare, Robert Vanessa Sharp, Lillian Jeanette Rock, and Joaquin Eastwood, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the newly ordained deacons and for all the prayers that we now hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these, our personal needs, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Almighty God, source of all wisdom, guide us on the right path. Listen to the prayers we make to you and grant them in your great mercy. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Look with favor, we pray, O Lord, upon the sacrificial gifts offered here, that celebrating in mystery the passion of your Son, we may honor it with loving devotion. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For in you we live and move and have our being. And while in this body, we not only experience the daily effects of your care, but even now possess the pledge of life eternal. For having received the first fruits of the Spirit, through whom you raised up Jesus from the dead, we hope for an everlasting share in the Paschal mystery. And so with all the angels we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. Once more giving thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation. Giving thanks, you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world. Bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis our Pope, Michael our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember all our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs of eternal life and praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever. My dear family, with faith and hope, we all dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church. Graciously grant her peace and unity, in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us turn and offer each other a form of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. For those of that always happens, doesn't it? For those of you joining us from home or wherever you may be this day, I invite you to please join with me in offering the prayer of spiritual communion that you may be able to enter with our Lord. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament of the altar. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Thank you. us stand in prayer.
Nourished by this sacred
Hello,
gift.
Hello, I'm Father Peter Lisandro, rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Movi and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with his love, peace, and joy. And may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, a part of your life, providing advanced quality care and vital services close to home and dedicated to keeping South Texas healthy and strong. More information is available at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast. If you have been blessed by our efforts and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.